put it. Okay, I just want to thank Kelly for all the information she gave us this morning. It certainly has made my job easier, because now I could just throw out words and you know what they mean, and I don't have to go through all the explanation. So, first of all, let's just say that the ultimate goal of prayer is not to get things. It's to get closer to God and conform to Him. So when you think about prayer, remember that. We want to come to God as a worshiper, desiring to remain bowed. And you know what that means now, what bowed means. When you do this, you will delight in the Lord. Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." The big thing that we have to do when we pray, the most important thing, is make sure that we are bowed, that our heart is right before the Lord, that we're actually seeking His will and not what I want. And that is something that's hard. It's, but without it, like she said, without faith, we really can't pray. Well, faith is a part of being right with God. That's the first step. We have to trust Him, and we have to look at prayer as the means to showing Him that we are willing, whatever His desire is for us, that we're willing. You know how hard this is. You know, you get up in the morning, your day starts, and things happen. And are you making sure you're right with the Lord all the time? I'm just going to give you a suggestion of how to get through your day doing this. When you wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, make sure your heart's right with God. Don't get up and start doing things. Make sure your heart's right with God. And then as you go through your day, there are transitions all day long. Some of you have kids. When your kids get up, now that's a big transition. It would be easy to just forget what you want to be doing. And what you want to be doing is staying in connection with God, so that the things you ask, prayer that we think about, are the things He wants. You know, maybe He doesn't want your kids to be perfect today. Maybe He doesn't want everything to go right at work, but maybe He does. We don't know. So every transition that you have during your day, if you go to work, if you, what do you people do? I don't know what you do. You know, some of you have husbands who go to work and then come home from work. That's a big transition. You know, your kids are there, maybe they're not being wonderful, and your husband comes home, and it's easy to just let life get to you. But if you can remember during those times, that is a really good time to just stop and reconnect with God. And another thing to remember is that God works through prayer. So why do we pray all day? Why? When we're just praying for His will, and He already knows what it is, so, you know, why do we need to? Because God works through prayer and His promises, and they have to come together. And He hears our prayers, and He answers them.
Can I think that?
That's great. Yeah. Thank you very much. I move on to the next question. It's kind of twofold, really, for you ladies. First of all, have you ever even had to do this? Do you relate to this? Have you leaned into prayer during a challenging season of life? And then if you have, how has that demonstrated your dependence on the Lord and having a trusting heart?
You know, in preparing for this, I sat and I was thinking about things, and I realized that I'm pretty sure that most of my adult life was a challenging season. There have been lost jobs, hard times with extended family, lost friendships, illnesses, deaths. So our life just kind of is a difficult season, just that's life. And during all these difficult times, I knew that the only way that I could handle this was to take it to the Lord. And I made Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 my life verse. And it says to trust in the Lord with all of my heart, lean not on my own understanding, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And I realized that I had to trust in him with my heart and not my understanding, because quite frankly, I'm just kind of stupid about life. But I knew that Christ knew everything that was going on in my life. I knew that he had a plan for my life. I knew that he had a plan for my husband and my children. And it was a perfect plan, even if it didn't feel perfect at that time. It's a perfect plan. And I may never know why he allowed the difficulties to come into my life. I don't know. And I may never know, and that's okay, because he knows, and he's got me. And I've realized that taking things to him in prayer just helped me get through. And there have been times that the pain was so hurtful that I couldn't even say anything. But I also knew that I had the Spirit in me and that he could pray for me, you know, and he could take it to the Lord. And I didn't need words. I just had to say, Lord, and the Spirit would intercede on my behalf. And that's okay. I've just looked back and God has been so faithful, even when I wasn't so faithful through the difficult times. He's always answered my prayers. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's wait. A lot of times it's no. I have to trust and depend on the Lord. I recently was asked by a friend at work who was going through some similar things that I'm going through. And she asked me how I got through it. She said, she recently lost her mother-in-law. And she said, I pray to my mother-in-law all the time. And just sat in my heart. And she asked, how do you do it? How do you get through? And I just looked at her and I said, well, I have a loving father in heaven that I can pray to. And he hears me, and he knows what I need, and he knows what I can handle, and he won't give me more than I can. And I said, I just trust that he's there for me. And very sadly, she just kind of looked at me and looked over at her phone. She says, oh, I think I'm getting a call. Her phone did not ring. But so she didn't have that assurance. So basically, we just need to lean into the Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Cindy. I love that. I think you touched just on it, but it reminded me of Job. I feel like sometimes things are a little bit overwhelming, and I can't, like you said, you don't really have the words. And it can be any sort of grief, but then I think of Job, and I just remember God telling Job, where were you when I created the expanse of the heavens, when I created the world? You know, we're so tempted sometimes to question God in our circumstances, and we're just like, I don't see the benefit of this. I don't understand. Like, I know the Bible tells me that you have a bigger plan than God, but I just don't get it. And God is looking at you going, where were you? Right? Like, even in our own lives, he is telling us, I created everything. I hold you secure. And sometimes we just really need to preach the truth of the gospel. Like you're saying, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. Jesus doesn't give us anything more than we can handle. His grace is sufficient for everything. And even when we don't feel it, like I mentioned earlier, sometimes we get well caught up in the emotion, but we have to preach truth for ourselves, right? Like, we know it is true, and we just have to tell, okay, God created all things. I was not there when he set the foundations in place. He knows what he's doing. He sees the big picture. Christ is interceding on my behalf. And I'm just going to keep preaching myself that truth. So thank you. That was really helpful. Karen, do you have something to add to that?
Yeah. The answer to the question is yes. And I have found that by trusting in God and his plan for my life, that has helped create a dependence on the Lord. Surrendering my all to him. I have often asked myself, do I trust God with my whole heart, no matter what the outcome is? I think it's easy to trust the Lord when the outcome looks like it's all good and rosy and happy. But can we trust God when the answer is no? First, I need to completely surrender to God's will, not to my own desires. And I feel like that's key. Like, we're pretty selfish people. So I want what I want when I want it. And I feel like sometimes as believers, even when it's something good, like when you're praying for salvation for someone, or you're praying for good things, we don't know what God's plan is. So not my own desires. Proverbs 3, 5 and 8, 5 through 8, says, trust in the Lord with your whole heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So we're commanded to trust the Lord. And then also Philippians 4, 6 through 7 has been really key for me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So first of all, we have to have prayer and supplication. We go before the Lord praying. But also there's with thanksgiving. So it's real hard sometimes to have thanksgiving about trials, but that's what this says, so that's what we need to do. And then the peace from God that surpasses all understanding. And there's been times in my life where this was a huge challenge to totally trust God. But what I have found is the peace that surpasses all understanding describes a profound inner peace given by God that cannot be fully grasped or explained by human intellect or reason, particularly in the midst of life's difficulties. This divine peace is a gift from God that guards one's heart and mind through faith in Christ Jesus, offering a sense of calm and security that transcends circumstances. So for me, that doesn't mean you're happy, happy, joy, joy about what's happening. It truly is something that cannot be explained. Like, when we truly surrender. So God gave us an admonition not to be anxious. And we have a choice to obey God or do our own thing. So we do our own thing, you're not going to experience this. In my own life, I've found that even when I'm struggling to trust God, I need to be in the Word and I need to be obedient. Obeying truly helps change the direction of my heart and humbles me before God. Peace that surpasses all understanding does come when I am bowed before him with my whole heart, not pieces of it. So, I think we all know it's sometimes we want to bargain with God. he doesn't want part of me. He wants all of me. Again, I want to stress that this trusting in God has nothing to do with the outcome of the circumstances. Trusting him even when the answer to my prayer is no. My God is faithful, and he will never leave me or forsake me.
Amen to that. That is so true. And especially that your heart being all in it, I think of just, I'm putting four out of five fingers in with God sometimes, right? I'm like, I don't hang on to this, but my effort is over here with my phone. Like, I just really, I feel like, okay, God said no, but I'm still trying. I'm back here over here, like, no, I'm still saying yes, right? Like, I think we sometimes can easily submit a lot of ourselves, and then it turns into the lie of, yeah, I'm submitting to God, but there's still that peace. And so I really appreciate that, and I do think that it's something to really remind us all of. It is all of us. It is completely bowed at the feet of God, saying, this is your plan. I've got nothing left. I can't do anything on my own. Even if I want the answer to yes, I can't make it be yes, and that's okay. That is really okay. We get to trust a really good and perfect God. So, yeah, thank you so much. Okay, our next question says, how do you not lose heart when you've prayed for someone or something for a really long time? This is kind of playing off what we're talking about. And God has not answered the way you'd like. How do you know when God is saying wait instead of no? And then what should we remember sometimes when our prayers seem to go unanswered?
Well, the short answer is you remain bowed. You hang on to God's promises and faithfulness. It really helps when you can look back on your life, especially if you've been a Christian for a while, and you see how God has answered prayers, maybe not the way that you thought they should be answered, but sometimes even more than what you asked for and more amazing than what you thought was going to be good for you. And when we can look back and see God's faithfulness in the past, then we're encouraged to be reminded God is faithful, and he will be faithful today, and he will be faithful in the future. So that just, it's such a help. Just sit down and write it out. Think about all the things God has done, how he has answered prayer, how he has brought you through things, how you have been encouraged, and then that will help you to keep going and not lose heart. Luke 18:1 says, at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. So we're told, right, what is the solution to not losing heart? Pray, to remain close to God. This is a relationship. You know how when you have a big, you know, problem in your life, something happens. And what do you do? I mean, hopefully most of you have one or two close friends, right? And you might call them or hug each other and cry together, encourage one another with scripture and praying together. Well, God's right there. And he's ready for that relationship. He wants us, but we don't always hang on to him first. So I think we need to be reminded of that. In Psalm 139, 1 through 4, I won't read the whole thing, but at the very last part of this verse, it says, even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Just like what Cindy was saying, right? Sometimes we don't even know how to pray, but God knows it. It's written in his word. It's like not something someone told you that you have to believe. It's written in God's word for us. So God knows us. He understands us. He's intimately acquainted with all of our ways. He knows everything about me and you. Therefore, he knows exactly how to bless us with his answers and timing. And it doesn't always look like our answers and timing. Does that make sense? Yay. But there's another question, right? Yeah. How do you know when God is saying wait instead of no? Ah, right? How do we know that? Well, again, here's the easy answer. I suppose if an answer is not immediately clear to us, God may be saying wait. Isn't that good? That took a lot of intelligence, huh? Okay. We may not recognize or want to recognize God's answer. Think about that. Right?
Because if his answer is not what we think he should be, you know, it's like, God, this is what you need to do. I figured it out. Okay? We may not want to recognize that God is answering our prayers because it may not match with what we desire. Perhaps God is leading us on a completely different path than we desired or imagined. Like me ending up in Utah, right? Yeah, thanks. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7, at the end of that passage, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So write it on your wall. You know those lipsticks you get and it wasn't the right color? You can write that on your bathroom mirror and it washes off really easy. Write it. Put it before your eyes if you need to, all the time. What?
Just wondering what to do.
Oh. You can also write, I love you, Gavin, and surprise him.
The next question. How should we pray for someone when we think they need a behavior change? That's an interesting one. Pray for an unbeliever who needs salvation and for a believer who may not be living in the obedience of God. Sometimes we deal with that sometimes within our own families or friends. How do you pray for that? That can be a really hard thing to pray for.
First of all, I think I read a verse earlier. Okay, wait, where was it? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I think we need... We need to not think we know everything in order to fix others. I feel like that's... We need to be humble. So when we're praying for others, we need to come before God with a humble heart, seeking his will, not our desires. So I said that before, but, you know, often I can see the nonsense in your life before I can see the nonsense in my own life. You know what I mean? Like, so we need to be careful with our pride and being humble before the Lord. Even when what we're praying for seems like a great thing, like salvation, healing, obedience, we got lots of good things that we think God should be doing. Whether we're praying for a believer or a non-believer, we need to pray with these things in mind, knowing that I cannot change a person's heart. These verses can be applied when we're interacting with others. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So I feel like when we're dealing with others, this, you know, believers or unbelievers, but I think this specifically, we're, you know, a believer that we think isn't in a great spot, maybe, to be compassionate, kind, humble, meek, patient, bearing with them. So I have this picture of coming alongside, putting my arm around their shoulder and walking together, mm-hmm. as opposed to standing in front of them with my finger on their nose. That's not my job. My job is to love them and encourage them. So that would be for the struggling believer, that, and that we would be praying that they will turn their hearts back to God wherever they're at, you know. And then for the unbeliever, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is perfect. Like, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not of works, that no one may boast. I feel like humbly we come before the Lord. We're praying for their salvation. But bigger than that, we need to pray for God's will. It is God that chooses, and again, we can't save another person. And I think we just need to be ever so careful. We just need to really remember that we don't save people. We can share the gospel, but God does the work. And so, again, remaining bowed. James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. I think this needs to be our heart as we pray for others. God's will be done. Again, bowed before him in humility.
Absolutely. Yeah, saved or unsaved, it really doesn't matter, right? It's God who does the changing. And you could have your finger on the nose all day long, but that may not be what does it. So why do that, right? I love that. Come alongside in courage, but allow God to do the work that only God can do. Okay? Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Okay, on the next page, question 5. If God hears our prayers for the first time and doesn't forget, why should we repeatedly pray for things?
Okay, that's better. God does hear our prayers. He hears the prayers of those who are genuinely seeking to follow him. If our heart is bowed before him, and we're seeking righteousness, then he does hear us. So it's not even a question if he hears us. And he certainly never forgets. You know, we do. I mean, I do more now. So I think by repeatedly praying, we learn to be patient. We learn to trust. We learn to adjust our prayers so that they align with God's will. We learn to be content with our situation, looking to God's timing and answers. So God doesn't need me to pray. God already knows what's going on. But he wants that relationship with me. And as I pray and I don't see his answers and I just keep praying, what's happening is my heart is changing. My heart is growing in trust that God can do all things. We need to pray with a heart of faith. Is your God big enough? Is your God strong enough? Right? Like, can he do all things? The Bible says he can do all things. He can. And so there's hope in that. And we pray repeatedly to God because he's the one who knows us the best, and he's the one who knows the best answer to our prayers. And this repeated prayer in Luke 11:5 through 10, this is a story about the man who needed 3 loaves because his friends were coming over and it was late at night and he wanted to feed them. Okay, so he goes and he knocks on the door of his neighbor, and the neighbor opens the door. Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. And what did Jesus say? I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And if you look at those words, ask, seek, and knock, they are all strong actions. That word knock is like, you know, the rapping, repeatedly rapping at a door. So these are all very, very strong actions, and they remind us to be persistent, to not give up in our requests of God. But our prayer, our persistence in prayer, doesn't mean that God will answer our prayers the way we want. He will answer according to his will for us. It may be something we recognize. It may totally be opposite of what we desired. Or it may be in the future, which we don't even know. Okay, one more thing. I'm looking down my notes to see what I need, you know, is most important. Persistent prayer. This is important. Persistent prayer is not made to change God's mind. Rather, it's used to change us, to understand and desire his will, and to remind us of our desperate need for him. It opens our heart to rely upon God's goodness and recognize his blessings.
One word, confess.
Amen.
Yes.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then we're back in fellowship with God and we can pray.
That's good. Thank you. So we just have a few more. How can I glorify God as I pray for myself or my own desires?
I want you to know that she told me we wouldn't get to this question.
That is true. It's true. She told her we wouldn't get to this question.
Oh, yeah, you did.
That is true.
Okay. So Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Mm. My cousin, when I was younger, she always had a picture of a car on her fridge. And I'm like, Connie, what is that? And she says, well, the Lord tells me to, you know, pray for whatever I want. And I'm praying for a car.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just would just laugh at her. I don't think she ever got the car. But but we need to be careful when we're praying for ourselves to make sure that we are in alignment with God's will and his plan for our life, that our heart is lined up with him. When we are in tune with God's will and his nature, our desires should line up with his will for us. I think as we get closer, and like the ladies have said multiple times, I'm like, I don't really even need to answer that question. We need to, as we get closer to him, what we desire and what our needs are, our requests, will probably look a whole lot different than they did when we were younger, when our faith was younger. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And we need to trust and commit our lives to God, focusing on him and his nature. It's also important to remember that God's not a genie there to answer, you know, our three wishes. That's not who God is. Let's not ever make him that. He wants a deep relationship with us, and where our prayers and God-honoring desires come from a heart that's surrendered to him.
Yeah, thank you. I think you just mentioned this. As we change, as our faith changes, we mature, as we grow in godliness and holiness, not towards perfection, right, until we meet God in heaven. But towards sanctification, I don't know if you have, or if any of you have done this, but have some sort of prayer journal, if you, or even if you've ever written a prayer down ever. I don't know if you've ever gone back and found that years later and then looked at it or read it again and you're like, oh my goodness, I remember my heart being there. I remember praying for that situation. And then, but now having the hindsight, having that 2020 vision of seeing how God answered that or how it changed or how your prayer, like, oh, I remember praying for that, but, you know, several weeks later I was praying differently. And you can kind of see the progression of how your prayers go when you look back on them. That could be a really fun thing to do. So if you've ever written down a prayer, maybe consider doing it again. Or if you are doing prayer journal things, I encourage you. They're fun. Throw them on a shelf for a year and come back to them. And just see what's happened. See what God has done. And kind of treat yourself kind of like an Israelite, right? Like, you need to look back and remember what God's done for them, remember their faithfulness. And that's what you get to do. You open your prayer journal and just obviously see God's faithfulness. Even if the answers to your prayer were no, or wait, or whatever the answers were. Or maybe it was immediate yes. Whatever it was, it's really cool to go back and do that. So I encourage you to do that. Okay, we have like two more questions. Does God's answer to our prayers ever depend on our faith or behavior? I know I told you to remember getting to this one either, but
no. God's answer does not ever depend on me, ever.
Praise the Lord.
But my response to his answer depends wholly on my faith and my behavior.
Is that good?
That's good.
Okay, so you have more questions, our closing question, and then when they're done answering this, we're going to have a table discussion time again, just to yourself. If you'd like to switch tables by new people, that's cool too. Maybe you don't like the answers to the room, put your own. Go ahead, and we're going to read through it. Maybe if you, well, if you feel like you'd like to share the answers that you came up to some of these questions, please do hear from the other ladies in your table. Re-ask the question, maybe, if you didn't totally understand or get remember the answer. So I'll have time to do that as soon as we finish this question. Has God ever answered a prayer or given you clarity on something directly through something you read in Scripture?
I have the mic. I guess I'll go. Well, my over my life, I've been through, like most of us, a lot of things. And it isn't always easy. But there's been one scripture that always I go back to, and it's Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm in a tough time, and what I want to do is just, you know, crawl under the covers, but I remember the joy of the Lord is my strength, not my circumstances, not what people are doing that or making my life hard. It's the joy of the Lord.
Mine's a little embarrassing. Seriously. When I was younger, and I'm sorry, Aaron, and Lydia, if I embarrass you, I'm really sorry. But when I was a young mom, I became very good friends. She has since gone to be with the Lord, but we were really good friends. And she was a new believer. And for, I don't even know what we were arguing about, what we were arguing, which was unusual for us. And she went away for the weekend, and I was feeling terrible, and I know she was feeling terrible because we didn't settle the argument before she left. And I actually came into church, and Dale was teaching on Philippians 4:2, and he says, I entreat Yodia, and I entrust Cindy K. I want you to understand my middle name is K, so Cindy K. I really heard Cindy K when he said Cindy K, to agree in the Lord.
Right.
So it really impacted me. I went home and tried to figure out where they were. I got a hold of somebody who knew where they were, got a hold of her husband, because it was before cell phones, and really knew I had to make things right with her. And, you know, she was a young believer, and I was not being the best example. And so that really impacted me, and I have not forgotten it all these years. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first thing that came to my mind is when I first became a believer, and I was a single mommy with my three young kids, and I was totally lost on my own, completely fearful, kind of really at the bottom. And I didn't even have a desire to live other than I knew my children needed me. I walked into, I had accepted Christ very recently, and I couldn't tell you where any book of the Bible was. I probably at that point couldn't even really explain my faith, other than I knew I had bowed before Christ, because I could feel, you know, that, like, I had peace in all of this. And I walked into a Christian store, and there was a plaque on the wall with Jeremiah 29:11 on it. I didn't know the context. I honestly was very, very simple-minded about anything about the word, but this short verse grabbed my attention and spoke to me directly, like it was for me. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, a plan for a future and a plan for hope. And that was it. That was God saying, hey, don't worry, it's okay, I got it. It's in my hands. I think this is really important to share, that I was not studying the word. I was not at all really even in the Bible at that point. And so I think sometimes we think that we need to have better understanding, or, well, we don't study like they do. Or, you know, I couldn't even name all the books in the Bible, you know, which actually I really get stuck in the Old Testament. And I think sometimes we think we have to have more knowledge, or we have to understand things better, right? But we don't. God's word is living truth to those who have accepted his son as their savior and Lord. He wants a contrite heart bowed before him. So this verse has hung in my home since that time as a reminder of the power of God's word to heal and provide peace even when things are really difficult. And I'm going to read the whole three verses to you. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So as I read further on in this scripture, I found that this same verse gave me direction on what I should do. Call on God, pray to him, be bowed before him, and he would hear me. I needed to be entirely devoted to him and trust in his future for me.
Okay, so because of time, ditto. And ditto, especially Lynn, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I think, you know, with no matter what we're going through, we can have joy in the Lord. And we might have tears in our eyes, but we can have joy in the Lord. So.
Well, thank you so much, all four of you. That was excellent. I hope you all benefited from that as much as I did.
That's yours.
Throw it out.
Sorry.
Okay, so like I said, you have some time now to sit and chat with yourself at your table and look at the questions.